Good morning, everyone. We're calling to order this Wednesday, April 26, 2017 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atar-Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today as the recording secretary. I'd like to begin with a few informational items. First, the order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present their case and to demonstrate how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. At this time, they should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition, then the project sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may either make a decision today or note a decision today, take the matter under advisement, or continue to a future date. There are a few items on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are generally considered to be routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of the items, please step forward. Otherwise, the items that are on the consent calendar would be granted. There's a general public comment at the end of the agenda for items that are not on the agenda today. And now the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C establishes the following five findings that must be met in order to justify granting a variance. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Now, the decision letter, it may take up to 2 months after the date of this hearing to have the decision letter issued. That is important because it is the decision letter which carries the appeal period, and the item, the case may be appealed within 10 days of issuance of that decision letter to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing, but we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss the case, but ask that that be done outside of the hearing room so as to avoid disturbing others. The next regular variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, May 24th, in just a month, in the same room. Audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. We do have at least two housekeeping items that are continuances we would like to read into the record.
So item number one, case number 2016-01. 0667 VAR, 65 Buena Vista Avenue East, exposure variance sought.
This item will be continued 1 month because the mailed notice was not properly issued. So we'll be continuing this item to May 24th.
And also item number eight, case number 2015-018474 VAR, 982 Green Street, front yard, street frontage, rear yard variance is sought.
And this item will be subject of a staff-initiated discretionary review, which we believe will be scheduled on July 20th of this year. It'll be a joint discretionary review and variance hearing at the Planning Commission in room 400. That is a Thursday, the July 20th. Is there any public comment on the continuance of either of these two items? And that's item number one for 65 Buena Vista Avenue East, or item number eight for 982 Green Street. Any public comment on either of these two items? Seeing none, those two items are continued as noted, and we can move on to our consent calendar.
There are three other items on the consent calendar aside from item number one. So item number two, case number 2015-018073 VAR, 245 Pierce Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number three, case number 2016-011975 VAR, 619 Clayton Street, exposure variance sought. And the last item, Item number 4, case number 2016-005042 VAR 3490 20th Street, rear yard modification, variance sought.
Is there any public comment on any of those three items? And that's 245 Pierce Street, item number 3, 619 Clayton Street, and item number 4, 3490 20th Street. If there's no public comment, then those items would be granted. I see no public comment for those three items. Public hearings are closed and inclined to grant those items. We can move on to our regular calendar.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2014.1509 VAR 188 Octavia Street, usable open space, rear yard modification, and permitted obstructions over streets, variances sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Morning. Here's our affidavit for posting.
Thank you, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. My name is Jackie Braver. I work for DIAP and Development, representing the project sponsor for 188 Octavia Boulevard. Parcel T, also known as 188 Octavia Boulevard, one of the few remaining undeveloped small parcels lining the demolished overhead central freeway, seeks a variance for open space, rear yard, and bay window projection. The project in its current program and form is consistent with the neighboring development patterns. It will help accomplish the city and community's master and specific plan strategies and goals for new building, streetscape improvements, and a retail corridor extension along Octavia Boulevard's old freeway parcels. The variance for open space and rear yard are sought due to constraints resulting from the SFPUC stormwater recapture square footage minimums, as well as minimum roof and street accessible areas for PG&E utilities, fire egress, accessibility, and exterior facade building maintenance. Our requested variance from the bay window exception addresses four Section 136 criteria. C, D, F, and G, perpendicular glazing, maximum width, horizontal separation, and edge separation. We worked intimately with the Planning Department and Urban Design Advisory Team members to ensure the building's dynamic and harmonious architectural rhythm fit as close as possible to Code Section 136 conformance, while gesturing to specific urban design patterns and spaces in the neighborhood. The quality of the project's three-dimensional facade is dependent on the ability to hold a consistent facade pattern without interruption and across Octavia Boulevard in particular. A variance from this code section will help us ensure the building's architectural merit is not altered from its original awarded design in a public RFP process and qualitatively mandated by our purchase agreement with the Office of Economic and Workforce Development, upon which we hold an option to purchase the land. We hope you will find in favor of the requested variances to help us manifest the city's goals to execute a project that won a public RFP process based on design in 2014 and on its architectural merit and consistency with the city's design and policy goals. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Robert Edmonds, Edmonds and Lee Architects, the architect on the project. Just given the time I have, I'm going to briefly run through the project. The slide before you shows the context of the neighborhood and the parcel in general. You'll note that a lot of the neighborhood has full lot coverage in this area. This is an image of the site as it exists today, just to give you some context. And another image looking up Octavia Boulevard. This is an image of the RFP concept that was developed in 2014 that was part of the public RFP project that was awarded to the development team. Since 2014, we've been working very diligently to refine the concept and bring it to fruition. Again, another shot of what it looked like in 2014. And then here's the concept as it is today. And then another view of as it is today. So as Ms. Braver mentioned earlier in the presentation, we're before you seeking three variances, but essentially there's really two issues to the project, which have to do with the open space requirement. As you know, this parcel has does not have a rear yard requirement, provided that the open space requirements are met for the project. Those issues go kind of hand in hand, and the main issue we're having with the open space requirement really comes down to a math problem. So this is an image of the roof plan. We are intending to fulfill our open space requirement by providing a common roof space on the roof. Because of the lot size is over 5,000 square feet, we also have on-site stormwater management requirements. So our team has been working very closely with SFPUC to meet those requirements for the storm drain requirements. The math problem I mentioned earlier essentially has to do with the available roof space that we have for the project. So we have an available roof space of approximately 3,370 square feet. We also have a required on-site stormwater management via a green roof of 1,650 square feet, leaving a remainder of 2,080 square feet. So we're just short of meeting the 80 square feet per person, and that's the math problem I was mentioning earlier.
So that is time, but if you could just finish up your last thought there.
The last exhibit I just want to show you has to do with the bay windows.
The consequence of the bay windows was this architectural concept we developed in 2014. The intent is to develop a very three-dimensional facade that meets the intent of the bay window, section 136, but the geometry, the architecture doesn't meet the literal definition of it. And so that's what we're really asking for in this. In this diagram, you can see the red outline here represents what would be a prescriptive bay window, and the areas that are nonconforming are these kind of smaller shaded areas.
So the variance that you're seeking is not to allow more area than would otherwise be allowed. You're actually doing less area.
That's actually correct. Yeah, so we're actually under what would be prescriptively allowed. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
I know we'd received a couple calls or comments, concerns about the project. I think one was from an adjacent property owner who had concerns about how it would be viewed from their property. This is the property behind.
Correct.
On page, and it's my understanding you've been working with them to kind of soften the impact. And can you just briefly describe what that has been?
Sure. Maybe I'll call up our Jackie Braver from DM Development.
We have been working with the 165 Page Street neighbor. We've met with her a total of three times over the last week and have just about reached an agreement. I have evidence of the communication with me that I'd like to pass over to you because as recent as last night, we received something back from her. And so we're working toward a solution that we expect to agree upon within the next day. So I have that as evidence as well. There's an email communication as well as a draft agreement.
Thank you. And I think another concern came in regarding availability of on-street parking during construction and maybe the possibility of doing staging off-site like was done for the Sadowitz project. And have you been looking into that possibility or is that...
Yes, I mean, it's rather early in the process right now. We're just completing our design development drawings. So, you know, the earliest that we would be able to start construction is probably January by the time a site permit is approved. I spent a good hour talking to Bill Grumbaugh on the phone. He's the gentleman who wrote the communication to Carly Grobe. And we've spoken to him about trying to make sure that the construction sequencing works in favor of the area residents, of course, that we look at the ability to purpose some adjacent parcels that are not yet developed for construction staging and parking to alleviate the concerns of the neighborhood. They had expressed that they wanted to see more parking on Octavia than what is currently programmed in the project, but we received pretty strong direction from the Streetscape Design Advisory Team to reduce parking to be consistent with the area plan goals. So it's, you know, there's a back and forth between the neighborhood and policy goals, but we're trying to find a solution that works for both.
Thank you. And lastly, I think there was a comment made that came in even yesterday about just kind of general concerns about gentrification, market rate units. I mean, this is, as we know, a vacant lot that will be developed with housing. It's my understanding you're doing rental housing, and by quirk of the rules, you'll be actually the granting of these exceptions would allow you to do on-site rental affordable units, and that's the program that you're choosing.
Correct. One of the part of a variance that we seek is to allow us to build on-site affordable housing in a rental form. We wouldn't otherwise be allowed to by law of California. So so that Costa-Hawkins exemption is what is available to us by granting of this variance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See if there's any public comment on this item number 5 for 188 Octavia Street. Please step forward.
You have
Can you hear me?
Sir.
Yes. Yes, my name is Harold Darling, and I am a tenant who lives one block away from this lot. And a couple things I want to point out is I believe that the applicant's photographs were shot with a wide-angle lens, and that's a very small lot. I think the only reason it's being developed is just because it's, you know, is because of the price of housing in that neighborhood. It's much too small for 27 units of housing. And the reason why I feel that way is 8 Octavia, which is, you know, which was also developed, it's too compressed. It's this boxy building right next to a freeway. It's blocking everyone's view. You know, Hayes Valley has had more than its fair share of newly constructed apartments recently. I think it should be built elsewhere. But with that said, I don't think the variance should be granted because it's too compressed. That lot is too small. It's a big box. It's going to block everyone's view. I would like to keep the record open so I could submit photographs that show how small that lot is. I can't believe they're going to somehow shoehorn in 27 units into that lot. Okay. I would think it's more like about 4 units. From you know, it's like not even that lot is like maybe 30 feet wide or something. It's just not that you know. It's much too small for that size of a building.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate those comments.
And also, I wanted to comment about the affordability issues. In addition, is that there's only 4 of those units are going to be affordable out of 27. You know, and I think almost everyone in the neighborhood would agree is the one thing we don't need more of is unnecessarily expensive apartments in San Francisco. The city owns that land. The city can do whatever it wants with that land. It's not privately owned land. And so I believe that that is not the best use for that property.
Thank you for those comments. Any other public comment on this item, on item number 5 for 188 Octavia? Project sponsor, you'd have a 3-minute rebuttal if you would like to use your time. No. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the comments of the gentleman. And I you know, would note that you know, the city has thoroughly evaluated the potential uses of this property, did enter into a competitive process for a development of the lot, and this project is the result of that process. And actually, by granting of the variance, does allow them to actually provide at least the affordable units on site rather than pay an in-lieu fee. And you know, this has been thoroughly reviewed by our urban designers. You know, appreciate the comments about the design. It is compliant with the area plan and with our design principles. So, would close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to and rear yard modification, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2016-001065 VAR, 276 Ripley Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Henry Shapiro. I'm a co-owner of 276 Ripley Street, as well as a nearby neighbor. We bought this property with a blighted Victorian house in the front of the lot 3 years ago, and rather than demolish the house, we spent 2 years getting permits to renovate it. We have increased the building footprint of that house by only 2.5 feet to the rear. After 3 meetings with the Bernal Design Review Board and adjustments by the residential design team, we sent out the 311 notice. At that time, our uphill neighbor, Etta Piccini, protested that with such a large property, we should locate the building a bit further back into the rear yard and threatened to file for discretionary review. After consultation with our planner, it was agreed that we would file for this variance. The rear building will be barely visible at the Ripley Street frontage and only 2 stories high at the rear, with 5-foot setbacks fully on the west side and on the upper floor on the east side. The height remains exactly the same as it was from the front curb when we sent out the 311, and the project is improved by providing a larger rear yard for the front house while still having a rear yard double the depth of a Bernal standard lot. The views from Esmeralda and Peralta are barely impacted as the site is approximately 30 feet below them. Here are some photos of the block showing three other houses located entirely within the rear yards, as well as the landlocked Portillo property, which is shown in pink. We hope you can improve this modest adjustment to the siding of 276 Ripley Street. This gives you a view of the entire lot. This is the largest open space, private owned open space in Bernal Heights. And here you can kind of get an idea of the relationships of Esmeralda Street at the top, Peralta Street to the left, and Ripley Street at the front. And you can see the change of elevation between Esmeralda, Peralta, and Ripley is approximately 30 feet. All right, I'll let my architect take it from here.
Good morning. I'm Keith Plymill. I'm the architect for the project, and I just wanted to point out a couple of things. I'm going to show the plan that was it's tentatively approved, and I'm going to show the next to it. This plan shows the uphill house, and this shows the front house. The street is here, and the proposed house is this one. The tentatively approved space between is 15 feet. And what we're looking at to work with the uphill neighbor is increasing the space between the houses to 20 feet. Excuse me, 29 feet, excuse me on that. Increasing the space between the houses so it's more generous and there's green space between. I wanted to show the back of the house so you get a sense of the yard and the height and the sensibility to the trees, etc. I'll move it around a bit. And those are the existing trees in the lot and adjacent downhill. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did your team have any further? I just have a few questions if there's no further presentation. Just to confirm, the original proposal, which went out to 311 notification, is
yes.
Code compliant. And we're now in this variance process as a result of you're working with your adjacent neighbor. That's what you've described as the uphill neighbor to provide further setback, which has necessitated the variance.
That's correct.
And there's a pretty amazing kind of selection of trees in the backyards of these properties. And I see that at least a couple are on this lot. Will any of those be removed as part of the project?
One tree on the uphill side at the rear will be removed by pushing this back 14 feet.
By pushing it back 14
yeah.
feet. And could you put that on the overhead? Is there a way of kind of isolating that tree out?
Let me see if I could find.
I know it may be hard to. It's like a mushroom cloud of trees.
Maybe this shows it best. It would be this tree here that would come out.
Okay. And I know we had received comments with concerns, I think mostly from the properties behind and others on the block as well, but there were kind of concerns about the view. And so I'm assuming those are probably the properties we're looking at behind, but the trees at the rear will remain?
Yes. There will be trees that remain in the backyard on both the east and west side.
Okay. All right.
It will be unaffected by this.
Okay. Great. Well, let's see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 6 for 276 Ripley Street. Thanks.
Neighbor.
Oh, sure.
That owns a lot behind this construction.
Great. If you could
please approach the mic, ma'am. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't have pictures. I have a picture in my iPhone where you can see the trees and everything, if you like to see it.
Nope. You can, yeah, you can put it on the overhead. And so you're the property, one of the properties behind, not the adjacent property.
981 Esmeralda.
Okay, thank you.
One second, I'm sorry. I don't know how we can do this, but... That's from Ripley Street. It's bad.
Can I zoom in?
Anyway, yes. I own the lot behind the project, which is 90 by 35, I'm sorry, and then 981 Esmeralda. It's an L-shaped lot. I bought it many years ago as an investment for my children. This project, I believe, is really overreaching and not taking into consideration the spirit of the neighborhood and the way that people have lived there for many years. That topography also is not taken into real consideration. You know, it's always eroding, always moving and eroding. So such a commercialized building in the middle of the block, you know, would really affect the safety of the block, because we don't have an entrance in case of a fire. The amount of people that will live there will be enormous. He's proposing 4 buildings in 2 lots. So for me to be, I totally understand the request for the variance. The building is encroaching upon the whole lot. Everybody wants to move, but either she pays for it or I pay for it. You know, and it shouldn't be like that. I think it should be a building that is reasonable and speaks the same language as the rest of the block, you know. So I feel that I will be unable to develop my own lot, that he says that, of course, I could look over his building and his solar panels, which I don't think so, and I don't think that he's done any studies about that, so... I you know, it's basically a big box with solar panels. Okay. Again, the safety issue of no fire hydrants is a very, very important issue. And having a lot of people living there is going to impact the whole block. And this is a very unique block in Bernal. So I've said everything.
Okay, thank you. And you know, this is understanding that this is just the variance to allow the building to move back.
But I never had a chance to say all this.
Oh no, I understand. I appreciate the comments. But it, there was a previous proposal. Did you have any opposition to the previous?
I did, but I couldn't go to the hearing.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item? And we're on item number 6 for 276 Ripley Street.
You also get 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Ida Piccini. I live next door in the uphill house at 282 Ripley. And I am the reason we are here today. Because by following the code as it is, the proposed rear house had to be very close to the front house. In fact, with the overhangs on both buildings, they were about 10 feet away from each other in that tiny space between the two buildings. I objected to forcing the issue just because the code does not address the issue of a lot that is 180 feet long. The code is made for regular size lots. And I proposed that if it couldn't be done by code, that it be done by variance. So I did not do the discretionary review request on condition that the developer did this variance request. I feel that the way the buildings are on the site is much more logical, is better for all three of the houses. In fact, all four of the houses, because there is another one downhill that is far back. So all the four houses now have proper spacing between each other. Before, they did not. Three of the houses were on top of each other. And all of this is at the cost of losing 14 feet out of 67 feet of rear yard. I don't mind that I am losing views. I don't mind that one other house is being built. I understand we live in a city, and I understand that housing has to be built. It's fine with me. But all I am asking is that we are given a few feet in addition to what the code allows, so we can exist there, coexist in a reasonable manner. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment on this item number 6 for 276 Ripley?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Terry Milne. I'm a member of the East Slope Design Review Board. And this variance was not a design that was showed to us when we met earlier, as Henry mentioned. However, the conundrum that he's facing with the lot and the length and the neighbors on every side, it seems like this is a very presentable solution that would encourage a variance approval. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I appreciate those comments. Any other public comment for item number 6, 276 Ripley Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. You'd like to use that time?
Thank you very much. So in terms of the fire issues, the piping in the street has been tested at 550 gallons per minute. So we have permission to fully fire sprinkle the rear building. And there's a 12-foot driveway that provides access to the rear house from the street. So not only is it fully fire sprinkled, but it is accessible by fire truck. We do own the lower lot below where the small cottage is in the back. Again, we chose to save that small cottage rather than develop a larger building in the front, and that cottage is now remodeled and is going to be occupied as a rental property from the beginning of June. That's really all I have to say. Oh, Ms. Portillo's interest main interest, I guess, her property includes a lot that is in the entire rear yard open space, which she hopes to develop, and she's asked for access through our property to in order to get the access to that rear property. I don't know the status of whether that is developable or not, but it is because of that property that she is mostly concerned about this rather than her existing house, I believe. Thank you.
Ms. Portillo had also referenced something about four buildings. Do you know what?
Yeah, so the four buildings would be this proposed house in the rear, and then on the lot below, we propose a new building
in the front of the lot,
which is in planning right now and has been tentatively approved by the design review board. And we're just going through the process now before the 311 to clean up a few items.
Okay. And in moving the building back as a result of your discussions with the neighbor, did that change the height of the building in any way, or did it just simply push it back into the hillside?
It just pushed it back. It's relatively level at that on the site. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping the same exact same elevation measured from the street curb, just pushing it back farther.
Okay.
All right, thank you. So with that, I think we'll close the public hearing. Appreciate the comments made by all the parties. Appreciate the also the spirit of compromise, which has resulted in this while necessitating a variance. Sometimes that is the result of an improved design, that it does address neighbor concerns. This has been reviewed by our residential design team, and they have been found this to be compliant with the residential design guidelines. So I would close the public hearing, be inclined to support the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2016-015600 VAR, 309 Holly Park Circle, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. We are seeking a rear yard variance for 309 Holly Park. This is a section of the existing building, and it shows that we have rear yard of the building is set in about 22 feet from the rear property line now, and then there's two 12-foot decks which encroach into the rear yard, resulting in a 10-foot rear yard is what's remaining. And that's a rendering of the existing building with the stairs and encroaching decks. And then here's our proposed section. There's a vertical addition at the top which encroaches 9'6" into the rear yard. And at the main level, we have a 8-foot encroachment, or the second floor rather. And then at the first floor, there's a we're actually reducing the deck encroachment from 12 feet to 7 feet. And then we have kind of an under house area, which encroaches by 8 feet. And then there's a underfloor sub-basement area, which encroaches by 15 feet. There's a floor plan of the proposed vertical addition with the 9'6" encroachment in pink. And then the second floor, the 8-foot encroachment is just this kind of this small corner that you see. And then at the first floor, the pink areas are the sort of the new encroachments, and the green are existing encroachments. So there's the deck, which we've reduced from 12 feet to a 7-foot encroachment, or 8-foot encroachment rather. No, 7. And then the green areas are sort of, there's an existing fin wall and kind of underfloor room. And then we're kind of filling in these corners here. And that's the subfloor area, which encroaches 15 feet. So basically, if you study these diagrams, it, I guess on paper, 15 feet sounds like a large encroachment, but a lot of it is really sort of a reduction of what exists, and this is absorbed under the overhang of the top floor. So it doesn't seem like as huge as it might look on paper. As far as the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances for the project, while the majority of the properties in the district have lot depths of 100 feet or more, the subject property is only 77 feet deep on a downslope. The very small rear yard is dark and far below the living spaces. If you removed the encroaching decks and stairway, the usable area we would be left with would be impossible to access, in fact, because the stair would be gone. Decks off the living areas create a much more usable and desirable open space. So we request that we be allowed to keep a reduced portion of the existing decks. And then additionally, the reduced buildable area also prevents us from creating a vertical addition which is in proportion with the subject house or similar to what would be allowed for most of the neighbors on the block. And to compound the situation, RDT has requested that we set back the front corners of our vertical addition by 5 feet to respond to the existing set-in of the front of the house. So these reductions create further difficulties not experienced by the majority of the houses on the block. So in about 77% of the houses on this block, they would be able to do exactly what we're proposing, no variance required. So in closing, what we're proposing is minimally intrusive, is in fact a reduction in many areas, very similar to what we could do within the buildable areas of most of the other lots without a variance. And we have letters of support from all the immediate neighbors for the surrounding properties. We've worked quite a bit with the planner and with RDT actually reducing this project, trying to come up with something that I hope you can support. Thank you.
Thank you. So you mentioned the existing decks, and there'll be a reduction from what is there currently. How long have those decks been there?
We don't really know. The owners of the house just bought the house, and it's I don't know if anyone really knows.
And then it was my understanding that those decks, there's no permit history for those. It appears that they may not have been constructed with permit.
That's possible. Yeah, they're not on the Sanborn map, so it's tough to say when they came, when they appeared.
And the home is going from about 2,300 square feet to about, I think, was it 3,600? Yeah, 23 to 36.
Yep. Yeah, so that's about right.
Pretty
yeah.
significant. One question. I mean, I understand. Yeah. At the lower level, looks like there's excavation for storage. There's going to be a significant amount of, you know, storage space at that ground level. The floor above, there's a family room, I think office. Then there's a deck that's going to serve kind of that main living level with the kitchen. But there's a second family room that is on the proposed vertical addition, which is within the required rear yard.
Yeah.
And how is that going to function? Because you have, there's already quite a bit of common, you know, there's a, I think another dining room, there's a family room, there's quite a bit of already kind of common family space in there. And what's the need?
Well, do you think I could invite the homeowner up to talk about how they intend to use the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Patrick Newman.
I'm Sarah.
Hi. And we're the new owners of this home in Holly Park. I don't know if you want to talk about our family a little, and then we'll talk about the specific use of any of the spaces that you are interested in.
Yeah, we have a 2-year-old daughter and a 6-month-old son, so we are a growing family, potentially looking for another child down the road, too. And I think, you know, for us, the proposed, we want a livable space. This is a home that we want to have for 15 to 30 years, you know, like for as long as our kids are in the home, and possibly beyond. The purposes of the living space, do you want to speak to this?
Sure, okay. Yeah, I can answer you. So specifically to speak to the upper living space, honestly, that it's not as large as it might appear, I think, and it's kind of connected en suite to where the bedroom is. That, quite frankly, is our space to go and escape the kids, who we expect will be living on the main living floor. Eventually, they'll need 2 rooms for a boy and a girl, and as our family grows, we may need the 4th downstairs as well. Right now, the way the guest floor almost reflectively, the garage level is set up, is to give us availability of an open bedroom for when our parents visit or when we have visitors, as we frequently do. I mean, I don't know if our lifestyles are particularly unique, we have friends who come into town very often. Just today, the director of a nonprofit organization in Mexico that I work with left after a 3-day visit to stay in our home. We keep a pretty open door policy. So our guest room is often utilized, and the idea is to have a petite living space for guests downstairs where they can watch TV and kind of be uninterrupted. The upstairs living space we envision as our space, and maybe that it's large, but that's kind of our idea for the use.
Okay. Thank you.
And I don't know if this is useful for comment. Well, no, I'll just stop then if you have any further questions.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 7 for 309 Holly Park Circle. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, close the public hearing. I think generally supportive of the variances at the lower levels and the decks. I still have some concerns, and I appreciate that you've done the community outreach and have the letters of support. but I'm still have concerns about that upper level. So I think at this point I'll take the matter under advisement, and consider what you have said today about the variance for that uppermost level. That's the only point that I'm having a concern with at this point. So thank you.
Moving to item number 8.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. So does this mean that we need to come back for another hearing?
No. So I'm just going to kind of consider what you've said today. So taken under advisement means we've closed the public hearing. There's no more public hearings, but I'm going to deliberate with myself afterwards just to consider what you've said today about whether or not to grant in full or in part the variance for that uppermost level is the only part that I'm having concerns with at this point. I appreciate what you've said today. And I think staff will get back to you probably early next week with some decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So as mentioned earlier, item number 8 has been continued to July 20th. So moving to item number 9, case number 2016-012099 VAR, 2849 to 2851 Steiner Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Should I put the picture up now? So we're going to show a picture. I guess I'll use my phone. I didn't realize we could do that. Okay. Hi, so we're Elise and Lance. We're the owners of 2849-2851 Steiner Street, and we've lived there for 5 years, and we plan to live there for the next 20 years at least, if not longer. It's definitely our primary residence. And we're here for a variance to build a deck off the back of the upper unit, which is 2851 Steiner Street. We have a short lot, so it's 80 feet in depth versus next door, which has 110 feet. We have tall buildings on all four sides of our backyard. And so as a result, it creates a black hole that basically gets no sunlight down at the ground level. We have a 5-year-old daughter, and we want to create a safe outdoor space where she can play and we can see her. That's the main impetus for doing this. Our backyard has trees on two sides and buildings on the other two sides with a big concrete pad in the middle. We're not planning on touching the trees other than the annual trimming that we do. What we're going to do is build over that concrete pad in the middle that doesn't get any light, and we're going to fill out our building footprint that the buildings on either side of us already have, so we're not building any further back than they have. And in fact, 2843 Steiner, which is the building to our left, they have a deck on the back of their building, and which extends back further than we'd even try to do it. And you can see that in the picture.
Do you have any photos that are kind of looking more up at the building?
Yes, I do, and that's actually on the piece of paper here. So that was trying to get the picture of our backyard, so you can see the big concrete pad. So that's there. This is
to the south.
Yeah, so that's the building right next to us. Oops. And so we wouldn't even be extending back as far as their building goes. And then they have a huge deck behind their house because they have 110 feet, so it's much larger. We're going to use a glass guardrail and light filtering materials, so it's going to have minimal additional shadows, and it's going to be beautiful, actually. And no one from any of the adjacent buildings can see it, except for the tenants who live on the third floor, and you can kind of see their windows up there. So if they stand at their windows and they look down into our yard, they'll see it. It will be below them. Anybody else, she could also, from the next door, she could stand on her deck and crane her head around and see it, but it will be receded from where her deck is, so it wouldn't even interfere with that. We live on a very close-knit block, and we know all of our neighbors, and actually we have recommendation letters from almost every single one of them supporting our project. And we held the preliminary meeting to which our neighbors on every side came, and there were no objections at that. And then finally, today's my birthday, so only good news. Did you want to say something?
Oh, I would only add that a part of our building extends back, which is close to the neighboring property line, which is our laundry room. And so we are just filling in that piece, basically.
Thank you.
And it would not cast any shadows or anything on anyone's lot because of, you know, the directions that the properties are.
Thank you. And was that the end of your...
Yeah, unless you have questions.
A couple of questions. So do you also own the lower unit?
We do.
Yes.
And is that tenant occupied?
It's not. We have elderly parents who come and visit us for long periods of time. And actually, I'm trying to get my mom, who lives in Florida, to come move in with us, but okay. She's refusing. So.
Okay.
So we don't, and we don't have any plans to rent it out while we're there.
Okay. And what was related to me by staff, and maybe this was a communication with the architect or some miscommunication, but I think we had seen this or a similar proposal early on, and we expressed some concern about the size of the deck. And what was relayed to me is that a subsequent revision actually made it larger, kind of.
I don't think so. I think we were always just planning to fill in that area. Okay. And I can, that you can see right there, that square, that was always kind of the plan. She had said, I think we could approve a 3-foot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, a 3-foot is not, I mean, that's not even worth us building. That doesn't give us the space to use, really.
Okay.
And so that's kind of what we were. So we never, the plans never changed. Our architect, whatever, I mean, that's a whole other story, but.
Okay.
I think he finally called Laura and figured out exactly what she needed and then gave it to her. I think it was more just miscommunication from him.
Okay. Great. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on item number 9 for 2849 to 51 Steiner Street. Any public comments? I know there had been some testimony or comment from the neighboring property to the south that had concerns. But okay. So with that, I'll close the public hearing. I do have concerns about the size of the deck and the impact on the unit below. I mean, understand that it's not occupied now by a tenant, but I do have concerns about the impacts on, because it is the bedroom below. Have you reviewed this with building department to ensure that that bedroom will still be meeting building code requirements? It is a pretty large deck that you're
proposing. So certainly, I mean, that would be the next step. Once we get approval here, then we're gonna build out the full drawings, and if they have concerns, then we would obviously do what they require in order to make sure that it meets
And also, we're building it out of a material that will let light filter through. It's not gonna be as solid.
How is that going to be? I mean, they're not going to be translucent.
I don't even know what it is. Our architect was talking about it, how they have, so instead of it just being solid wood slats, they use like this corrugated, I mean, it's probably metal material that then allows the light to pass through it.
Okay.
So, but I mean, obviously we're not, right now, I mean, you can see in the picture, it really doesn't get a lot of sunlight down there. We're definitely not looking to block off additional light, and whatever the building department tells us we need to do, I mean, because we will build it with plans.
I'll take the matter under advisement. I mean, I do have concerns about the impacts on the light to the bedroom and kitchen in that lower unit. And we'll see what your architect can do to address those concerns. I mean, this is news to me that there is going to be some level of translucent material or that there'll be light permeating through the deck. So why don't we get more information on that before we make a final decision?
Okay. I mean, is there a size that you are comfortable with? I mean,
it's going back to the 3 feet, and you know,
for a child area.
That's new information as well. And certainly, I can understand. It's nice to have more than 3 feet, especially when you have a 42-inch railing. You know, so we'll take the matter under advisement and see about either a smaller deck that may still allow for your needs, or if there's something that can be done through the decking material to provide for greater light. Happy to have staff have those discussions with you and your architect.
Okay, so I should just email that into Laura, the information on that?
Yeah, you can follow up with them after the hearing.
And then should we still, do you know when you'll have a...
I think it'll be a dialogue, a bit of kind of getting some more information from your side about what the proposal is and, yeah, so there'll be some dialogue. I don't think it shouldn't take too long.
Okay, that's fine. But, I mean, okay. Like Thank you. We're going to be there for 20 years, so okay. What's a few more weeks?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2016-011462 VAR, 1709 Revere Avenue, front setback variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, good morning. My name is Anki Kwan. I am the attorney for the applicant Project Bayview. And this is Suhail Shatara, and he's the architect. So Project Bayview is a nonprofit in Bayview Hunters Point, and they provide housing, job training, and other supportive services for residents, for the most vulnerable residents in the Bayview. 1709 Revere is home to abused women and their children. The applicant is applying for a variance for a 6-foot fence to provide for the privacy and safety of its residents and to fully enjoy the property like other residents living in the same zoning area. There are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances which require the granting of the variance. As I stated earlier, this property is home to women suffering from trauma, mental and physical abuse, and recovering from drug addictions. It's located near a busy intersection, 3rd Street, which is the main thoroughfare in Bayview, and it's one of the most dangerous corners of San Francisco. It's known for gang violence, drug dealing, and shooting. And the side yard, which the fence surrounds, is the only outside area on the property. The geographical characteristics of the property would lead to a hardship not attributable to the applicant and would lead to absurd results if the code was literally enforced. It would require the applicant to reduce the property, I mean the fence, to 3 feet on two sides, or to create a fence with 75% visibility, and this just isn't adequate for safety or privacy of its residents. Other properties in the zoning area allow residents to enjoy the outdoor areas because it isn't, they don't have the same unique geographical characteristics like 1709 Revere. We need a 6-foot fence that's not transparent to provide the residents with a safe, private, and secure living area. The fence doesn't interfere with any public uses in that it isn't adjacent to any properties. The public can access the public areas in any way they want, and they really have no legitimate purpose looking into our private property. And finally, it's in harmony with both the planning code and the master plan of Bayview. The purpose of the code is to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of the city's residents, and the fence promotes the health, safety, and welfare of the residents in 1709 Revere. And the master plan for Bayview is to provide affordable housing, training, and employment, which is precisely the purpose of the property at 1709 Revere. And Sahil can talk about the characteristics of the fence a bit more.
Yes, I presume this would be some sort of either a cyclone fence or a vertical picket fence with some opaque slats of wood that will serve as privacy. Ideally, the 6 feet code requirement on height we are conforming with, but we would prefer the fence actually a little higher for security reasons. So if you can entertain a higher height, maybe a foot or two higher, that would be more ideal for the security of this the space being used.
We're actually not asking for the fence to be any higher. So our client built a fence that is 6 feet, but with no visibility. And in waiting for this variance hearing, they removed some slats so that there is 75% visibility currently, but that was just kind of a stopgap measure, and they want to put the slats back in so that there's no visibility onto the property.
Okay. Thank you. And also to clarify the code requirements, within the rear yard and buildable area, the fence is actually allowed to be 10 feet solid, mm-hmm. and it's only within the front setback, which in this case is really just that front portion of the property along Revere. That's the only part that is subject to this variance. So you can, as having a code-compliant fence, have that solid fence along Bayview, even up to 10 feet tall. But I understand, yes, this is to legalize the existing fence, which was mm-hmm. constructed in violation of the code. So I appreciate that.
So can I ask a quick question? If they decide to increase it in the future, is it another variance hearing, or is it, or is there something you can put in your conditions of approval that might allow them to come in with an over-the-counter permit to increase the height just for security measures?
The application was to legalize the existing six-foot-tall fence. That's the notification is for the existing six-foot-tall fence. Certainly, had that been part of the application and part of the notification, we could have entertained a taller fence. But you can do a taller fence along the Bayview Road portion, but not along Revere. That will be limited to the six-foot solid fence. Because that's what the application is for.
Okay.
We'll see if there's any public comment on this item for number 10, 1709 Revere Avenue. Seeing no public comment, I'd close the public hearing. We did receive a very extensive brief, a very thoughtful brief about kind of the impacts of the solid fence and the kind of fortress-like component of it or aspect of it, kind of hindering the neighborhood. The request in that case was to remove the slats and just have it be a cyclone fence, which in kind of the commenter's opinion would have been preferable. And I appreciate the, you know, the explanation of the use here and also just knowing what the code would otherwise allow. I mean, I feel that a variance is justified here. And so I would be supportive of the application to legalize the existing fence. And we can close public hearing and move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2016-014950 VAR. 2125 Hyde Street, usable open space and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you for coming back.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez, for hearing us a second time, or at least hearing me for a first time. Here's our affidavit, ma'am. So we're here for an open space variance and a unit exposure variance. The building currently is 8 units, which have very large for San Francisco standards, 2 one-bedrooms, 2 two-bedrooms, and 4 three-bedrooms. We intend to take one of the 3 bedrooms and turn that into a studio, a 1 bedroom and a 2 bedroom. And in our first proposal, we were asking for 3 studios and 1 one-bedroom. With talking with Nicholas, whispers in the ears, it sounded as if our units were felt to be not nice. And so with this unit mix, we feel like we are, now we have a studio, a 1 bedroom and a 2 bedroom. And we feel that the building now reflects actually the changing climate in San Francisco. And this building is sort of a microcosm of all of San Francisco. We now have large family size, and we have smaller studios and 1 bedrooms. For the open space, variance, Nicholas, as you see in the diagram, we have 1,100 square feet. We have 1,100 square feet on property, but Nicholas asked us not to count the rear 320 feet. And we're not exactly sure why that 320 feet serves the back 4 units, and it seemed to us that it should be acceptable. If we were able to use that 320 square feet, we comply with unit exposure, open space for our 3 new units as well. That being said, if we eliminate this, the 320 square feet, we have 782 square feet of legitimate open space in front of our 3 new units. We believe if we're only allowed to count that, the overall building doesn't comply, but we're suggesting that the three new units have immediate open space adjacent to it. And now on unit exposure, these are not ADUs. These are, as of right, we have a density allowable up to 11, and so this proposal will take us to 10. And so 2 of the units have the required unit exposure of 25 by 25. Only the rear bottom unit, which is a 1 bedroom, does not have it. The average of the open space associated with the rear unit is 17 by 24. And that square footage is 453 square feet, where 625 is required. If you took a broader view, there's 782 square feet of open space directly or adjacent to the unit. This is a photograph of the court. The family that owns this, when they bought this property, they own many properties in the city. When they bought this property, they considered it a legacy property for their family. They were very excited to obtain the property and feel like this courtyard is wonderful outdoor space. And so we're suggesting that if it were an ADU, there is a policy to accept a 15 by 15, and we do meet that standard. And so we think that 453 square feet, although it's not the required 625, it is above the 15 by 15, and the 782 of the total space seems to be an acceptable alternative. That ends my remarks.
Thank you. Appreciate that, and appreciate coming back with a revised proposal. The kind of initial proposal had concerns. I mean, not that they wouldn't have been nice units. I'm sure they would have been very nice units, but taking what was a family size unit and having, you know, very small units didn't quite sit right with me. But I appreciate that you've addressed those concerns and have come back with a nice unit mix here that does preserve some family housing while still adding additional density within the density limits that are allowed for the property. And
Thank you.
I would agree that this is a unique property with unique open space. While not meeting code requirements, does have open space that is enjoyable. And not to overuse it, but unique for San Francisco. And I think the issue with the rear open space is kind of complying with the dimensional and exposure requirements for open space. And so that's why it doesn't satisfy the textbook definition under our code, but does provide maybe an aggregate and appropriate amount of open space. We'll see if there's any public comment. I know at the previous hearing there had been some public comment about the stairs, but we'll see if there's any other public comment on this item number 11 for 2125 Hyde Street. Seeing no public hearing, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance. And thank you again for coming back with this revised.
Thanks, Scott.
Moving to item number 12, case number 2014.0867V, 181 Edge Hill Way, front and rear yard variances sought. Project sponsor?
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. We're seeking a rear yard variance for 181 Edge Hill Way. My client's house is on a deep, steep, L-shaped lot. Edge Hill forms a loop, so the adjacent neighbor who's affected by the work is actually facing, has a different frontage. We're proposing to extend the existing rear wall of the house, which already enjoys a 182-foot rear yard setback, into the side yard, which has a 44-foot side yard setback. Our 15-foot side addition will leave a 29-foot side yard setback and is in the same location as a previously permitted deck, only 3 foot wider than that previous deck. For 12 feet of the new garage width, we'll have only a 1 foot setback on the rear property line, which is accounting for the, it's due to the L-shaped lot. So the good news this morning is that the next door neighbor, who's downhill from my client, sent their representative, Pat Buskovich, to give his support for the project, but he had to leave, I guess, for a conflicting appointment. So the other backstory about this, the client set out to do this 18 years ago. And at the time, he hired an inexperienced contractor from Vacaville to start with repairing the deck that I referred to. And then they decided to convert the existing living room into convert the existing garage into living room space. and to extend a sunroom to the rear of the house. Those drawings were submitted, but then never apparently went through the proper planning process. So they only issued what was within the existing envelope, and they proceeded to convert the living room, the garage, into living room space. And then they pursued the addition for the garage, and I think partly because my client is a restaurateur and he's absorbed in his restaurant business, over the years a succession of people have been involved, different contractors, different architects, different building department officials, different planning permits, and with each of these cases, you know, permits were initiated and then dropped, and permits that were issued were never picked up. And so it just created a lot of bad feeling among the neighbors and with my client, and feeling this sort of futility to the process. At this point, his children are raised. He's ready for retirement. He wants to put this project behind him and to resolve this history of, you know, this bad permit history. What I'm proposing is that we achieve the variance, build the garage, and with those inspections, we satisfy the previous open permit history. And I think that covers it.
Thank you. And the goal is that this permit will move forward and will work under this permit will be completed. That's the goal.
Yeah, I've been working here in San Francisco for 25 years. And so I'm confident that I can do that. And the owner's now retained an owner's representative who's also experienced as a contractor. So he's also going to be tackling the permit history head on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Is there any public comment on this item number 12 for 181 Edge Hill Way? Can you step forward?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is John Buskovich. I'm representing Pat Buskovich, and we support the variance for the proposed garage.
Thank you. Any other public comment for item number 12, 181 Edge Hill? Seeing none, close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance. You know, it took some time for our staff to get through the history here. I think cases did go to the Board of Appeals, I think, at one point. And we look forward to having kind of all the issues resolved and have a work completed under appropriately issued permits for the subject property. So thank you. Can move Moving on up. To the next.
Thank you very much.
Sorry. Moving to item number 13, case number 2015-012087 VAR. 50 Ashbury Terrace, rear yard and open space variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm the project sponsor and owner at 50 Ashbury Terrace. What we're trying to achieve here is a variance to be able to add an extra bedroom onto our deck, which is on the third floor. It's a deck that we don't ever really use. We have a high school student, our son, who has to share a bedroom with his 10-year-old sister. It's not an ideal situation, as you can imagine, especially as he gets older. So we're trying to achieve that extra bedroom in this external space that we don't really ever use. I know we don't already meet the outdoor. We're a non-conforming lot in terms of outdoor space. And this is why, even though we're a non-conforming lot, I guess we have to get a variance in order to take away that outdoor space that we have. And we're also, because we are constrained on height and the size of the bedroom, I think it's only about 150 square feet or so that we can put in, we're asking to be able to pop out an extra, I think it's maximum 2 feet on the north west side of the building in order to be able to make a bedroom that's of decent size. So those are the two variances we're requesting. We've, as far as I know, have gotten emails of support from the neighbors. I don't think there's any objections as far as I know.
I think that there were one, if not two, comments that came, one regarding just the encroachment and loss of open space on the property, and one that also had concerns about the architectural design and the impact, the kind of loss of integrity of the building. But in speaking with our preservation staff, I mean, they reviewed and found the addition to be appropriate and did do a checklist review for the environmental review. Those were the comments that I had received.
Okay. I was not aware of those. Okay. Veronica made me aware of those when I asked her the other day. I'd been told that there was nothing. Maybe it came later.
Yeah, I think it came within the last, probably yesterday, I think.
Okay. And I know we've been working with staff in terms of the original design we had was actually matching the original material, and we were told that we can do that. So they actually had us change it to have it a more modern, to fit the existing structure. There is already a structure on the third. This is kind of a fill-in project. There's already a structure, a third floor up there. So in order to meet the the preservation standards, we were told to match the more modern version on the third floor, which is, I believe, are the designs that you have in front of you. So we were following city code.
Direction,
yeah.
So. Get you in trouble. No. All right. Well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Thank you very much.
Ron, Lucky 13 for 50 Ashbury Terrace. Is there any public comment? 50 Ashbury Terrace. Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance. Appreciate it. It's a very small site. They're definitely constrained with the setback requirements. And it's a modest, very modest addition of, I think, about 145 square feet or so to add additional bedroom. Very reasonable proposal. And we can move on to the next. And maybe
the last item of our calendar, item number 14, case number 2016-006747VAR, 320 Walnut Street, rear yard variance sought. Can we have the project sponsor approach the mic? You have 5 minutes.
Hi, thank you. We are seeking a variance for rear yard for the project at 320 Walnut Street. Just to give you a little bit of statistics about the lot is a substandard lot. It's 87 and a half feet deep. It's under the height limit currently. And besides that, there's a front yard that equivalents about 260 square feet space at the front. That due to the circumstances isn't really developable, due to the nature of the building and the stair encroachment to it. So what we're actually looking for here is a rear yard encroachment for a living space, a bedroom in particular, on the ground floor, in addition to a deck above that space. And so the space is, it's only about 9 feet above, it's 9 feet above grade, which is less than what would be allowed for a fence. It doesn't take up the whole rear yard. We started with staff of open space that was 7 feet wide. We got some original comments from RDT that said they were not in support of the variance. And we didn't get much clarity besides that. The only thing they asked us to do was to move the living space into the garage. The garage space doesn't have the proper exposure for a bedroom. And in addition, I can show you some photos of that space. It's just basically a tradesman over there. So it's not really suitable for a bedroom. So we submitted the revision to have the actual footprint reduced from the 7 foot for the open space to 10 feet. And then we basically never heard back and we went right to the 311. So we just kind of found out recently from Wayne that there was still some sort of ambiguity about RDT and them not having looked at this again. The one thing I would like to point out is, the amount of space, just the condition of the lot itself, it's very cave-like. Like you can see, this is a photo of what we're building up against. We're not going any higher than the fence on this lot, which is kind of the red one. And then there's an adjacent fence that's much higher. So there's basically a two-story encroachment, two-story massing along the one side. And then in addition to that, That's just the view from it from above. And then on the other sides, there's this massive wall of another building. And then that's along the back. So we're basically surrounded by a three-story buildings on two sides, a two-story fence on one side, and then the subject property on the other side. And I'm going to give the owners a couple seconds to say a few things.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Jason Kuhn. It's my wife, Jeannie Lynn. Just to give you a little bit of background about ourselves, we moved to San Francisco a couple years ago, and it was a voluntary move on our part to make San Francisco our home. We thought people were, you know, friendly and very welcoming and accommodating. And look, we purposely chose to buy a multifamily property. My family I grew up in Toronto. My parents always had rental units, and it was always a good way to bring in extra income, and for us, it would to help pay the mortgage. We wouldn't otherwise be able to afford a house in this neighborhood, Presidio Heights, without buying a three-unit place. Okay, I take very much pride in being a landlord. I know that's not exactly what this is, but if you had any concerns about the fact that we are, in fact, obviously keeping the three units and maintaining rental units, but the idea is to have a space for us, for a growing family. My wife is expecting in 4 weeks, and we would like to have our plans have basically have the bedroom levels on one floor and then our living space on another floor, and then yet we still maintain the two rental units as income for us to help pay the mortgage. And so with the variance and being the building at the back that you can see in the space, it's not very nice. It's very dark, damp, especially in that area too. We're closer to the fog line. And so it actually encourages a lot of mosquitoes. And it's not very nice because it doesn't get enough sunlight to dry out the space. And so the idea is we can both build out the back, and that way we can add an extra bedroom and add an extra bathroom for one of the extra units, right? So increasing the housing stock for in San Fran, and at the same time making the space more usable, because if you have the deck that you elevate yourself and you so you can get a little bit more light from the top, because part of the space is right now it's the yard is not usable for anybody. Let me see here. And obviously you can see from the pictures that space is covered and it won't really block or impact our neighbors.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is a three-unit building in a zoning district that would otherwise allow two units. And when did you purchase the building?
We closed in September 2015.
Okay. And are you currently living in the property?
Well, we just moved out because we were planning the renovations and we're expecting, so we didn't have kids, but we were living there up until a month ago.
And then are the other units occupied?
Yes. So there's one long-term tenant in one of the units, and the other unit tenants have told us they're leaving soon because they're finishing their own renovations.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. And thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 14 for 320 Walnut Street. Please step forward. And then you'll be allowed a three-minute rebuttal too. So.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. My name is Aline Lee. I am the owner of the building behind the proposed project at 3374 Sacramento Street. I would have been here earlier to oppose this, but I didn't get notice until this one. The pictures that the owners just showed failed to show my building, which what I have right now is a small light well, which faces is on the western portion of my building, and that allows light into three rooms into my house. If they put this square bedroom where they propose to put it, it's going to cut out all the light and air going into my dining room, my master bedroom, and the other bedroom. I believe that the ordinance is appropriate for this physical situation, that there normally would be at least a 15-foot setback. There's a fence that's currently up right now that is a lattice fence to help allow some of the light, which was put up after some work was done about 7 years ago, because there used to be a tree on the property. If you look at this picture, the area in the circle is where they plan to put the extension, which basically will leave no yard or just very minimal yard. And I can show you, this is the picture of
my side.
So what year was the tree removed?
The tree was removed in about 2011 when I had foundation work done, because the roots from the tree went down into my trades entrance, and okay. I have brick and plaster, and so I'm afraid if they build onto that, it might affect the integrity of the foundation that was put in also.
They would have to work around that, definitely.
Yeah, because there was excavation done, all that. So this is what you see from my three windows to that lattice fence, and they're proposing to build up to that lattice fence. Okay. So basically, I would be boxed in.
All right.
If they put a bedroom up to my building, it's going to block all the light for those three windows.
So the window that is on the far side, at the other end side of that light well, does that line up with the fence, or what's the distance between?
Yeah, that lines up with the fence. That's at the property line. So my building goes right to the property line, and with their 22-foot proposed extension, it goes right up to the building.
Because they, on their plans, and maybe you can review this with their architect, they're showing your light well, but they're showing their building kind of not...
against the bedroom.
Yeah, but not obscuring any of those windows. I guess from the perspective, it's maybe a little bit hard to tell from your photo. It'd be good to have a photo, and I don't know if the project sponsor has... I'm sorry to... I started asking questions before you finished. So, okay. I mean, would you like a minute to finish?
Well, I mean, my biggest concern is that I would like to have some sort of a setback just so that there's still air and space. That's really the main thing. I have no problem with them building out, but it's just the extent of what they want to build out. Because it's always been a yard, and it's been noisy, and if they have a bedroom there and then plan to put a deck, it's going to affect the people above me and me, because that's where all the bedrooms are.
So it's the impacts of the deck, impacts of potentially on the foundation, and ensuring that it is not blocking your
light
well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item for item number 14, 320 Walnut? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. And I don't know if you have a photo from your property looking to the rear.
And we have the plan. The intention was to work around this and leave the open space adjacent to that. This was the condition that we were seeking in terms of how the two properties are relating.
And so for the neighbor to the rear, do you think, is that kind of a correct representation? Because from your photo, it looked as if your light well went a lot further over towards their side property line. Is that about how it is? Your light well only goes about halfway the width of their property? Okay. Or no. I think maybe we can get some more information. This will be helpful.
Yeah, okay.
We'd like to make sure that we're correct.
Can I answer a clarifying question?
Yeah, sure. And you still have your 3-minute rebuttal. Oh, sure. Let's start that over with the question.
Sorry, your name? Aline. And you live on the main floor, the ground floor?
I live on the building. I would be in 3274, the one that's directly across from...
Okay. Oh, I didn't realize you moved in because...
No, it's rented right now. I'm moving back in once my husband retires.
Okay.
I was there for 10 years.
Okay, I didn't realize that because I had met the people who lived on the ground floor, and they didn't have any concerns.
And then maybe let's, Eva, if we can start over the clock since I started with all my questions.
So do you want me to restart the clock?
Yeah, we'll give you 3 minutes for your rebuttal.
Okay. Yeah, so, as my architect, Ryan, indicated, this line draws up is meant to keep keep the light well today as it stands. And so part of the reason, and when we build out back, obviously we'll have greens, right? We'll have shrubbery and other things on our on the deck. And so that should help with any sound. And obviously, you know, we're not loud or boisterous people, actually. And I think one of the issues, if we were to pull back the deck a few feet, or not the deck, but the building a few feet, that space itself would, again, receive no air and light. And also, we're out there and we see it, and that just encourages more, especially in the winter months, mosquitoes and moss. And so that's a big issue with obviously family and the risk with mosquitoes and some of the illnesses they may carry. It's just something that we've seen. We don't have any pictures of mosquitoes, but we've certainly seen them. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe question for your architect. So these are three full flat units right now.
Correct.
With exposure
yes.
to the front. And then the unit, you're taking one of the units, the lower unit, and kind of stuffing that behind the garage. How are you meeting the exposure requirement for that?
So basically, if we go back to where we started, so there's a unit on the top floor that's not being touched. That's on the fourth floor.
Right.
And then currently on the second and third floors, there's a unit on the third floor, and then there's a unit on the second floor that also has access to the ground level behind the garage. So that one has there. So we were in kind of caught off guard when we started this because they started changing the policy in about how they were going to deal with the reduction of 25% in exposure. So we worked a lot with Wayne to kind of come to an agreement about what he thought the correct division of the spaces was going to be. So the exposure requirement is met on the ground floor unit by this space that we have here, this 10-foot by 17-foot space. And then because there's a stair accessing that from the upper unit. Would you like to see the plan for that?
Yeah, I have the plans here. Just that doesn't actually satisfy the exposure requirement, which is something I can discuss with the.
Oh, not. I think I'm thinking of the open space requirement. You're mentioning the exposure requirement.
Because each dwelling unit must face onto a code complying rear yard.
Correct. So, so if you look for that, so this one faces. Hold on. Let's just take a look at the plans real fast.
And I see that there's kind of a shared area at the ground level, but that doesn't meet the. I just don't see how it meets the exposure requirements. And maybe I'm looking at an older version of the plans, but I. So for that unit,
that's focused on that pretty well.
Being kind of so, my understanding you've done the calculations. It's 75% of the size of. Kind of one of the other units, so it's not a merger under the code, but I just that lowest unit, I don't see how that meets.
The lowest unit has the living room at the front of the space, which is a little confusing, but so if you see how they actually no, it's the bedroom at off the back is what it is.
This is part of the lower unit.
That's part of the lower unit.
So it's this it's all this space plus this here.
So how do you access that upper area.
The stairwell here.
Take that stair.
So come in here, stairs here, come up, and then here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that by this kind of.
Yeah, the lower unit's access to the tradesman.
So then the parking is only accessible for the lowest unit?
That's correct. And also obviously through the garage door, the front of the garage.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Thank you. So with that, I think we shall close the public hearing. I do have some concerns about the quality of the unit. I appreciate what has been kind of represented about the goals of the project. I'd like to get some resolution on the RDT concerns, and this would also allow some time for you to work with the neighbor to make sure. And if we could get some photos, I think showing just from your property looking straight back at the neighbor's property, just to confirm the relationship of that light well to the subject property. I mean, the rear yard is not the best to begin with, so understand the goals here. But we'll take the matter under advisement. We can further work with, you can work with the neighbor, and we can work with RDT and staff on the project, and we'll get back to you about a final answer. Okay. Thank you. And we can move on to, that is it.
That's the last item.
General public comment then. Is there anyone who has general public comment for an item that was not on the agenda today? Seeing none, this public hearing is closed. We will reconvene for a regular variance hearing on Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.